Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be here again and be a part of this service with y'all. And there is hope in the Lord. Amen. And thank God that He's freed us from our sin. We can trust in Him. And it's a relationship that lasts forever. And we are truly blessed because none of us here deserve salvation, but He offers it to us free. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8, if you'd like to go ahead and turn with me. Again, Mark chapter 8. And today's message, we're going to be talking about discipleship. But in preparing the message, I started thinking about discipleship, and I started thinking about how much we need discipleship as a church. We talk about reaching the lost. We're talking about sharing salvation with those who need it. And we were actually talking about this before the service, before Jason realized what I was even preaching on, talking about how much we need discipleship within the church. But it's not just our responsibility as a church to win souls for Christ. Once we bring them in, it's important we teach them, we help them learn. It's important that we teach them to also be disciples of Christ, while we ourselves are supposed to be disciples of Christ. We're supposed to be followers of Christ. But it takes giving of ourselves. Leading into the message, I was thinking about giving and how important it is that we give. We can have a whole message on tithing, and I know the elders and the deacons and the leaders will be like, yes, it's a sermon on tithing, but we're not talking about tithing today. But it is important that we give. It's important that we're good stewards of what God's blessed us with. It's important that we give that 10% or more back to God. It's important that we support missions. It's important that we support our local church. It's important that we give back to the one that provides for us. And when we're not doing so, it's affecting those missions and it's affecting the church being able to reach out and be able to minister to the lost and be able to disciple others. But I was thinking about an example of the rich young ruler, and Jesus came up to him and basically said, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" As he's talking to Jesus, what did he tell him to do? Sell everything he owned, give everything away, and follow me. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And for us, God might not be calling us to give everything we own, but it's what we love the most. That's what that man loved the most, was his money. And sometimes God asks us to get rid of something that's getting in the way of our relationship with him. And you get rid of that, get that out of the way, and then you can fully and wholly follow him. It's important that God's number one in our life. It's important that we get rid of that which hinders our relationship with him so we can focus on him and give all that we are to God. We're going to look at true discipleship and not just what discipleship is, but how we become disciples ourselves of Christ and also the importance of us as a church discipling other people. But in Mark chapter 8, my main verse of focus today is verse 34. But I want to back up to verse 31 this morning and just start there, as Jesus has some important teachings leading up to that. But Mark chapter 8, verse 31 says, "Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed and rise after 3 days." He was openly talking about this. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's." Summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you again for this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this service, Lord, this wonderful service you've blessed us with so far, Lord. And thank you, Lord, as we've already worshiped you through song and through giving of our tithes and offerings to you, Lord, and our time of fellowship with you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to gather together as believers and just be able to love on each other, but more importantly, love on you and worship you this morning, Lord. Lord, I do pray, Lord, that you open up our hearts to your word today, Lord, and you just help us, Lord, to learn how important it is to be discipled and also to make disciples for you, O Lord. Again, Lord, just bless this message this morning, Lord, and just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, before the main text we get into, you notice our main verse is verse 34, but I started out going back to 31, and I think that part's important. As Jesus is there teaching his disciples how important it is that they understand why he came. The reason why he came to earth to start with. He had to come. He had to be rejected. He had to die and suffer shame on the cross. He also shared with his disciples that it wouldn't end in death, but on the third day he'd be raised from the death. And isn't it an amazing thing that it didn't end in his death, but we don't serve a dead Savior, but a risen Savior. He wanted to establish that he came, again, not to overthrow the current government, not to set up his throne on earth, but he came, as Isaiah 53 tells us, he came to be the suffering servant. A cross is in Jesus' future. And he was telling his disciples about that. And they wouldn't fully understand what he meant until later on as he continued to teach them these things. He was going to suffer on the cross. And his disciples, in the same way, they had to be prepared. They had to be ready. They themselves would also suffer. They themselves would also be persecuted. Some of them would even endure their own cross. And that's what it takes to be a disciple of Christ. We have to be willing to give it all no matter what, even if it ends in an excruciating pain and in death itself. And that's what leads us into our text today. So the first thing I want to talk about is, who was Jesus talking to? Was he just talking to those 12? Was he just talking to those in that crowd? According to the word here, it says he was speaking to everyone. Notice it said in the text, it says anyone. It don't just say you 12 or you Peter, but anyone who wants to be my follower. And we can't ignore these small statements as we study God's word. If anyone wants to be my follower, everybody in the crowd, everybody, all of his disciples, and all those that he was talking to today, and guess who it is also included? We're also included in this. Those who are believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you must do these things. You must what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You see, there's no other way. There's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. The world may try to tell you otherwise. They may say, well, to be saved, you can do this or you can do that, or it takes faith plus this. But God's word says it's through faith that we're saved. We are saved through believing in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, confessing Him with our mouths, and we'll be saved. But I do, before we go any further, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. One, is the text saying there's something you have to do to earn salvation? Also, are you paying the price, or is Christ paying the price? And then third, why should I seek a life of suffering? And I'll answer these things. First off, according to Romans 3:11, it's not in our hearts to follow Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, there is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. You see, we don't, in our hearts, it's not natural for us to seek God. In fact, what do? We rebel against God. We do the opposite. We fail God. We sin against God. We don't meet that mark. You see, it's God who seeks us. God speaks to our hearts and transforms our hearts and transforms our desires. Let me read another text in Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6, 17 says, but thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from your heart that pattern of teachings you were transformed to. What happens when you become a Christian? You become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. You have new desires. You have a new thought process. When you become a Christian, sin that once enslaved you no longer has its hold on you. Your heart process is different. Your thought process is different. And when God saves you, He enables you to pay the price. Again, you're not doing it on your own. You're not doing it through your power. You're not doing it through your strength. You're doing it through His strength, through His power. He's the one that helps us. You see, salvation comes through believing. The Holy Spirit draws you to Him. But once you are saved, the Holy Spirit guides you and directs you and helps you each and every day as you live to obey Him, to be obedient to Him, to be willing to do what it takes to follow Him. This is where salvation comes in. Mark 8:34 is not talking about salvation, but what comes after. Again, salvation is a free gift from God, offered to everyone, but only given to those who accept Him as Lord and Savior. Again, we have all sinned. Every single person sitting here today, every person that's ever lived, every person that's going to live has sinned and will sin. There are none righteous, no, not one. For we have all sinned against God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God knew we were going to sin. God knows we're going to sin, but He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be saved, because there's nothing we can do about it. Only He can save us. So, after salvation, we've been called to live differently. We're called to deny ourselves. We've been called to carry our cross. We've been called to follow Him. And we're not doing it for our sake, but we're doing this for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake. If you're a true believer, if you are a Christian, you will pay any cost to follow Christ. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that we all must make. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He paid it all so that we can be free from that sin that holds its grip on us. He did that for you and me. He did that out of what? Out of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God sent Jesus out of love. Jesus went to the cross out of love, and that's how He showed His love for us. So how do we show our love to Him for what He did for us? We live lives of an obedience to Him. I touched on it last week. But what is it? How do we live in obedience to the Lord? We got to get in His Word daily. And yes, I've got a physical copy of the Bible, paper, But you don't have to read the paper. Every one of us just about has a smartphone that has a Bible app we can look at. It don't matter how you're reading. It's just a matter that you are reading it. You don't even have to read it. It can be read to you. You can have anybody. You can listen to pretty much any different type of voice reading the Bible back to you. Some of them can be boring and kind of monotone sound, or you can get a peppy person reading it to you. But we can get the word from many different resources. In fact, if you're not able to physically come to church, you have access to watch it all over the internet. But we have access to the word. But you've got to read the word. You've got to understand the word. You've got to obey the word. Then you've got to live out the word. That's what we do after we trust in Christ. And that's how we show our love to Him, through living lives of obedience. Living a life of obedience isn't going to save you. Only the blood of Christ will save you. But that's how we show our love to Him, by living in obedience. But it takes sacrifice. Let me read a book, or a couple of verses back in Matthew, one book back, Matthew chapter 10. It takes sacrifice, even if that means losing everything and everyone you love. You see, Jesus is to be the love of your life, and you should love Him more than anyone or anything. And according to Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 32, it says, "Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge Me before men, I will also acknowledge him before My Father in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny him before My Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be the members of his household. The person who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. The person who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow Me is not worthy of Me. Anyone finding his life will lose it. And anyone losing his life because of Me will find it." It's a tough scripture. It's a tough scripture to read. It's a tough scripture to really understand and comprehend. It's a scripture that you're not going to read about or hear in your health, wealth, and prosperity churches. It goes against everything they teach. They teach everyone that if you believe in Jesus, all your troubles are gone. And if they don't, then you're doing something wrong. Basically, if you're suffering, if you're going through tough times, you must be doing something wrong. But according to my Bible right here, according to your Bibles, according to our Bible, we will go through difficult times. We will struggle. There will be difficulties, but God is there with us through it all. There will be pain. There will be suffering. Even households will be torn apart because of Christ. Again, being a disciple of God takes sacrifice. When I was thinking about this verse and this text, it takes me back to a movie that came out several years ago, God's Not Dead. Many of you may have seen it. It's based on a song by the Newsboys. And reading this text, I think about it, and I think about the young Muslim girl who was hiding that she had been saved. She was a Christian. She had been saved, and she was having to hide it from her parents because she knew that, well, she knew how they would react if they found out she was a Christian, if they found out she was going to church. Well, you see a scene where she's laying on her bed listening to Christian music, and all of a sudden her brother comes in and steals her, I can't remember if it was a CD or her whatever it was she's listening it on, but takes it away and takes it to her father. And her father hears what she's listening to and finds out it's Christian music. Then you see a sad part of the movie as, in tears, he kicks her out of the house. She knew the consequences of being a follower of Christ, but she chose to reject all those teachings she learned about in her Muslim faith. And she died to her old way of life, and she became a new creation. And as a new creation, she knew that no matter what it took, she was going to follow Christ. And that's what she did. She didn't give up. Even after being kicked out of her own house, she remained strong. Even though it cost her her own family, she did not deny Christ. She loved Christ more than her family. So I'm going to ask you that question this morning. Do you love Christ more than your family? Moms, dads, do you love Christ more than your children? Grandmothers, granddads, do you love Christ more than your grandchildren and your children? Children, do you love Christ more than your parents? Now, we'll ask this one, but men, do you love Christ more than your mother-in-law? You notice he didn't say that in the text. He didn't say the mother-in-law, but he says the daughter and the mother-in-law. But do you love Christ more than anybody else? Husbands, do you love Christ more than your wife? Wife, do you love Christ more than your husband? Do you love Christ more than anything or anyone? Is Jesus Christ truly number one in your life? Are you truly a bride of Christ? Or are there idols or gods before our Lord? What does it say in the Ten Commandments? Not to have any gods before him. How many of us have gods over our God? Little g gods over our capital G God. I know in the state of Alabama, many people do. It's called football. You're either Alabama, Auburn, or somewhere in between. You got to root for that team. I know for myself, I wear crimson and white, maybe houndstooth. You're not going to dare see me wear a shirt that's orange and blue together. Those colors just don't go together. And we have vehicles. I have friends who have bought vehicles for the crimson vehicles just because it's the color of their football team. You have your specialty tags, your personalized tags. You have your flags. And you're not going to miss that three-hour period in the fall when that game comes on. Matter of fact, many people start saving right now just so they can buy those tickets in the fall. We're obsessed with football. And we can use all kinds of examples about sports. We mentioned college football in the South. And some of you may be NFL fans. What's next Sunday night? The Super Bowl. There are people that will sacrifice everything to watch those games. And I'll tell you, if you really want to sacrifice, look up tickets to go to those games. They are unbelievable how much it costs to go to a Super Bowl now. The average person can't go anymore. But it's not just sports. We can mention sports, but for some people, it's hunting. They'll sacrifice everything to get out in the woods and hunt. For some people, it's fishing. They'll sacrifice everything to fish. Mentioning sports, it could be travel ball. You see the sacrifice that parents make for travel ball. For shopping, look at all the sacrifice you make. People even get in fights on Black Friday just to buy a pair of shoes for 20% off. But so many people put other things before God. Some men put their wives, they love their wife more than their relationship with God, or I don't know if women would have that same comment. But the point is, we put things before Christ. We put others before Christ. We put work before Christ. We put money before Christ. These become our God. Jesus Christ should be here. Everything else, there shouldn't be nothing else up here. Everything else should be way down here. Not even our families, not even our children, not even our parents. God should be first. He should be our first priority in everything we do. God wants more than people warming pews each week. God wants disciples, and he wants to make us disciples. That's our role as a church. We should act as disciples act. We need to be willing to teach each other to do the same thing. What does it teach in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20? It tells us to go out into all nations. Make disciples of what? All nations. Everybody we come in contact with, we need to be sharing Christ with them. And not just sharing Christ with them, but get them into church. Teach them about Christ. Teach them how to serve Christ. Teach them how to serve others. It takes discipleship. And I think Just like we were talking about earlier, every church needs to do better at discipleship. We need to stop just sharing Christ with others. We need to do that. We also need to teach others how to be true disciples. It don't just say go out into all the nations and make Christians. It says go out into all the nations and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. So we need discipleship. We need to lead by example. And what better example do we have than to follow Christ? We are Christ's followers, and we should live Christ-like lives. So what does a Christ-like life look like? As I begin to wind down the message, I'm going to give you 4 points this morning that describe a disciple or what a follower of Christ looks like. For one, it takes a desire. There must be a desire. Anyone who what? Wants to be my follower. Anyone that wants to be my follower. God puts that longing in our hearts. He gives us the choice. He don't force us to do it, although he commands us to do it. It's a choice we must make. It's free will. Now, why does God give us free will? Why does he give us free will to choose to love him? Why does he give us free will to choose to follow him? Because you don't truly love someone if you're forced. If somebody says, hey, look, you've got to love him or you've got to love her, we're like, no, I don't. We're not really going to do it. I know anytime our parents say, hey, look, I put those Brussels sprouts in your plate and you're going to eat them. For me, I'm not going to eat them. I choose not to like it. Why? Because I'm being forced to eat them. I remember, and I say Brussels sprouts because I remember when I was a kid, no matter what we ate, no matter what meal my mom made, she always put 3 Brussels sprouts on my plate. And until I ate those 3 Brussels sprouts, I wasn't getting up from dinner. You know what? The last thing I'd eat was those 3 Brussels sprouts. And oftentimes, I'd just be sitting there. I'm like, I'm not eating those. And she's like, well, it looks like you're going to be sitting there for a while. I was forced. Now, maybe if she told me, didn't tell me that, didn't make me eat them, I might have actually liked them. But now as an adult, I'm not going to choose to eat Brussels sprouts because I was forced to do it as a kid. And you see, in our relationship with God, God don't force us to love him because it's not true love. True love is when you choose to love him. So God gave us the choice to choose to love him. That's free will. And we have the choice to choose to follow him. That means we're truly showing our love to him when we choose to follow him. But there should be a desire. There should be a longing in your heart. You should want to be a follower of Christ. And if you're a true believer and you really know what Christ did for you, that desire should be in your heart to want to follow him. No matter what it takes. No matter what you must give up to be a true follower of Christ, there should be a want. And you see, as Christians, we're rewarded with eternal life. But sometimes on earth, it can be difficult. It can be hard. A life as a Christian isn't always easy. Just look at the disciples and what they went through. In the early church, what they endured, the persecution, death. So see, church, sometimes it takes sacrifice, but we should want to do it anyway. To live this kind of life takes 3 steps. First, there should be the want. But if you truly want to be a follower of Christ, you got to do these three things. The first thing is denial. Denial. We got to deny oneself. That doesn't mean you deny your personality. It means that you deny your self-centeredness, that you're putting Jesus on the throne of your life. To deny yourself means you disown yourself. You're no longer concerned with the world and the lust of the world, but you're concerned more with living for Christ and what Christ desires for your life. We should be seeking God's will for our lives, and we should be submitting to his will for our lives. We don't come to God in pride. We don't come to God in self-centeredness. We come to God with the qualities found in the Beatitudes that you read in Matthew chapter 5. We come poor in spirit. We come mourning over sin. We come in gentleness and hungering and thirsting over righteousness. We come to God full of mercy, with a pure heart. We come as peacemakers. And when you're ready and willing, you got to be ready and willing to be persecuted, even if that's what it takes. You see, in America, we don't really know what it's like to be persecuted. Somebody might hurt our feelings. Somebody may say, oh, you're one of those Christians. But are we really persecuted here in the United States? You can say, fortunately, we're not, but at the same time, how much differently would we live if we had to worry about walking through those doors, or if you had to hide your Bible because if somebody saw you with a Bible, it might be off with your head, or they might lock you up, or they might imprison you. Would you still be willing to serve Christ? Would you still be willing to live for Christ? But you've got to deny your old self and live for Christ. It takes dedication. So first is denial, then dedication. Being a disciple of Christ takes much dedication. This means you submit yourself to Christ. Just as a bride submits to the husband, we submit to Christ. We dedicate our lives to Christ. We live for Him. And in return, what does He do? He shows love to us. And He loves us as He loves Himself. That's according to Ephesians chapter 5. This takes bearing a cross daily. This wasn't just some Jewish metaphor. This is a reference to criminals who were carrying their own cross or a piece of the cross to the point where they were being executed. This showed the authority of Rome over its people. For the disciples and for us today, it shows God's authority over us. When we carry our crosses, we're saying, I will be obedient to Christ no matter what, even if I endure pain, even if I endure suffering, even if I endure persecution, reproach, shame, or even death. Again, many of us here have never truly endured persecution. Persecution is a blessing, but it also can be a warning. If you are not being persecuted, you might not be doing the will of God. When you are in the will of God, you will endure hardships. Tough times will come, and you've got to be willing to stand for what you believe. What happened to that young girl at Columbine when the shooter came in and asked if she was a Christian? She could have easily said, no, I'm not. And he may have spared her life, but instead, what did she do? She said, yes. Do you have such faith that if somebody was holding a gun to your head and you knew that if you denied Christ, you would live, but if you instead exclaimed, Christ is my Savior, Christ is my Lord, and He can be yours too, that they'd pull the trigger? Would you still be willing to do that? You see, we will endure hardships. And you may endure hardships even to the point of death. But even if you are faced with death, you still got to make that commitment to live for Him. You've got to at least be willing. While you may never be in that situation, you need to be willing to be in that situation. You got to be willing to say yes if put in that situation. We must be willing to carry our crosses daily. So there's denial, there's dedication, but then there's also direction. There's direction. And this one's pretty simple and really a repeat of what we've already looked at. But basically, we got to be willing to follow Him. The direction of our path should be guided by the Lord. Not just in some of what we do. Not just in the big decisions. But in everything we do, we follow Christ. And God will direct your path. Again, I mentioned it last week. Most of us wore those little bracelets. What would Jesus do? And while it was kind of a trend that we all followed, there's so much truth to it. In everything we do, are we really praying? Even for the little things, are we really praying and asking for God's leadership and God's direction in everything? God will direct our paths. And the closer you draw to Him, the closer you grow in your relationship with Him, the easier it'll be to discern His will. The more you are in God's Word, the more you are studying the Word, the more you're praying to Him, the more you're worshiping Him, the easier it is to recognize His voice. And the easier to be to understand Him. We've got to be in God's Word daily. And if you're not, I encourage you, spend time with God. Make it a priority daily to be in the Word of God, to spend time in prayer, to spend time worshiping. Yeah, you may have the worst voice in the world. You don't have to sing openly for everybody to hear. But worship in your own way. You can sit there and hum or sing or whistle or whatever it is. But we worship God, and we should worship God and bring glory to God in everything we do. Everything we do must bring glory to Him. We live in the life where it's patterned like Christ. We should be living Christ-like lives. And we should be living lives as disciples. So my challenge or my question, are you truly seeking to follow Him? Are you seeking to live for Him? Are you truly seeking His will for your life daily? And remember, when you seek God's will and He reveals His will to you, submit to it. Don't say, well, God, that's not what I had in store, or that's not what I had planned. I know we do that a lot. God, what's your will? And then He tells you, and you go, how about something else? I know I've done it. I know I've been there, and I've prayed and prayed, and God keeps giving me the answer. He keeps revealing it. He keeps putting it right there in front of me. But I'm like, yeah, that's not really what I want to do. You see, that's not discipleship. That's not being a true disciple. A true disciple will say, God, that wasn't my plan, but if that's your desire for me, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what it means to be a disciple. You follow Him no matter what. Even if it's something uncomfortable, even if it's something that we don't want to do, you might pray and ask God His will, and He may say, they sure do need some missionaries. They sure do need some preachers. They sure do need some teachers. They sure do need somebody to do this or do that. Are you willing to do this or do that? Follow God's will for your life. We've got to live for Him. It's not always easy. But we've got to deny ourselves. In other words, you've got to put aside all your selfishness and turn your focus on Jesus. You've got to carry your cross daily. That means you've got to submit all authority to Him. He's the one in charge of your life. Turn it over to Him and stick with it no matter how difficult it may be. It's a full commitment to God, even if it means pain, suffering, persecution, and so on. You must fully carry your cross daily. And then you just must follow Him. Just simply choose to follow Him. If you're a true believer, a desire is in your heart already, but you've got to make that commitment to follow Him. You must daily be in the Word, and you must daily be on your knees praying. So are you a disciple of Christ? Are you living like a disciple of Christ? If you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've got to do that part first. You don't become a disciple and then become a Christian. You become a Christian. You come as you are. I love that old hymn, "Just As I Am." And that's how we come to Christ. Come to Christ just as you are, and He'll do the changing. He'll change you to make you what He wants you to be. You got to do that first. And then once you become a believer, how do you show your love for Him? By living a life of obedience to Him. And by becoming a disciple, becoming a follower of Christ. And that's my challenge for you. First, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to end the service with an invitation. If y'all would like to do the praise team, if y'all would like to come on up, we're going to have that time of invitation. And you can give your life to the Lord today. But if you are believers, if you are already Christians, follow Him. Submit to Him. And say, Lord, no matter what it takes, no matter what I go through, I'm going to make You number one in my life. And I'm going to submit to your will for my life. Not my will, but yours be done. Make that commitment to him today. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Father God, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this scripture, Lord, that's oftentimes tough and difficult, Lord, because it means being uncomfortable. It means denying ourselves, denying what we want, but doing what you want for us, Lord. And Lord, may you make your desires our desires. May you make your wants our wants. And Lord, may we choose to reject the things of the world, but seek that which is above, to seek your will for our life. Lord, I do pray, Lord, if there's anybody here today, Lord, that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that today be the day of salvation. And for those of us that are Christians, I pray, Lord, that we choose to follow you, not live in self-centeredness, not live a life of me, my, what I want, what I desire, but live a life committed to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you will, please stand for this time of invitation, and I know our elders are up front, would love to talk to you. Just make a commitment to live for him.